This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We're with you from rotowire.com. And boy, do we have a show for you coming over the next 60 minutes. Plenty of updates rolling in from NFL training camps. We got six preseason games starting up tomorrow night. We'll start to dig in on some of those. The PGA Tour playoffs begin tomorrow, so our friend Len Hochberg will stop by the show to preview the FedEx St. Jude. And we welcome back Theo Greminger, our lead fantasy football analyst at rotowire.com. We'll talk about his training camp winners and losers from a fantasy perspective. And it all builds toward Jeff Erickson giving us some plays for the Wednesday MLB card. As always, make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you're downloading the Prop Points podcast. You can find us on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Search VSiN, search Prop Points. You will find us, and you will find all VSiN programming in podcast form. Jeff, let's dive right in on the NFL. And we were putting together some headlines we wanted to talk about. And then, you know, within the last 60 minutes here, another one popped up. And that is Emeka Egbuka limping off the field at Buccaneers practice earlier today. Got rolled up on after taking an end around. There was about 10 or 15 minutes of Twitter silence where I think the entire fantasy football community was holding its breath. Now, we're still awaiting a true update on this, but Egbuka was spotted walking around on the sideline, got some treatment from trainers, so it doesn't appear that this is anything overly serious. Obviously, his practice day will be done, but this put a scare into fantasy football managers, Jeff. I mean, Emeka Egbuka up to an ADP of 25 right now at the NFFC. That makes him the wide receiver 12. If you rewind back to May, when, yes, there were people doing fantasy football drafts in May, plenty of them, in fact, Emeka Egbuka for that month was the 47th overall player, the wide receiver 20. So he's up over 20 spots just over the last couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. And a guy that we expect to step in and be the lead wide receiver on this Bucs offense, Baker Mayfield in a contract year. You know, there's a lot of things pointing towards possible big numbers. But I think we have to remember last year, too, Egbuka, second half of the season slowed down a little bit. And it turns out like the hamstring injury that was bothering him had a bigger impact than we were willing to kind of give it credit. I think Baker's play also was a big factor in that as well. Mike Evans came back later. Mike Evans is gone. Chris Godwin, another year older. They did draft Ted Hurst, but I still expect Egbuka to be a guy that steps in and becomes a lead dog on a team that should be throwing the ball a lot. But yeah, this is something worth watching for sure. And just hopefully we get accurate reporting on it as best as we can.
Yeah, Egbuka now going ahead of names like Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, Zay Flowers, Devontae Smith. Again, that wide receiver 12 in the NFFC, which if you're not familiar, these are big money leagues. These are expert leagues. So that's some of the ADP that we'd like to reference. You know, we had a note, Jeff, on Puka Nacua. He, of course, departed practice yesterday, dealing with some minor soreness in his groin. I don't think this specific injury is overly concerning, but he would be my odds-on favorite to lead the NFL in trips to the blue tent. I think he was right near the top of the list last year. Now, he always came out of the blue tent, which is great, but you combine the way Puka Nacua plays, the fact that he's constantly banged up, even if he's not actually missing time, plus what has been a very turbulent, to put it nicely, off season for him. Do you have any reservations if you're picking third, fourth, fifth overall? Are you comfortably clicking on Puka Nacua in fantasy?
I haven't been put to that test. Like I've either had the three pick and I took Chase, or, you know, which is who I have ahead of Puka Nacua, or I picked later and Nacua has already been gone. It's a weird spot. Like at four, he is my fourth rated player right now. I have him over JSN. I have him over McCaffrey. I have him over, Cook, anybody else that you want to put in that spot. I think it's interesting. We're in this training camp fog time right now where every injury that comes up, every practice miss, there's a little bit of an uncertainty because the teams aren't really required to disclose a whole lot to us here. Last year, I stayed away from Puka a little bit because of the injury factor, and obviously I got burned by that. I got burned by the Matthew Stafford, immaculate chamber story, the thing that, whether he was resting his back. I think you and I were both kind of wigged out about that a little bit there. And turns out Stafford stayed healthy. It was a great season. I think there's a lot of things that still work in that favor there. You know, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about Ibuka, Devontae Smith has got injuries right now that he's missed in a series of practices. Zay Flowers has missed some practices recently. You know, one of these injuries, Mike Evans just returned to practice yesterday, but he missed a bunch of time as well. You know, some of these injuries might end up being something important that goes into the season. It's hard to tell which one exactly, though. And I think that that's one of the needles that we have to thread during training camp draft, the draft process.
Well, I will tell you, Jeff, that is one of the things we do best at RotoWire, keeping you up to speed on all those injuries. So you could check out our brand new Smart Money tool as well. It shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving. So you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start of what we offer over at RotoWire. Our award-winning staff gives you rankings, projections, real-time updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Check out rotowire.com right now. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at checkout. 15% off anything we offer. That's rotowire.com, promo code V-S-I-N. And again, we'll be joined by a couple RotoWire guests as the show rolls along. Len Hochberg talking some golf, and then our lead fantasy analyst, Theo Grimminger, stopping by the show a little bit later. Jeff, you mentioned, you know, trying to parse through which injuries matter, which injuries don't this time of year. We did have a big one on the defensive side of the ball this week for the Chicago Bears. You know, there was initially some optimism on Kobe Bryant, the safety who Chicago went out and paid this offseason. It looked like it might be a matter of weeks. We now have an updated timetable, 4 to 6 months for Kobe Bryant. So we could be looking at perhaps the entire regular season for their biggest offseason addition, gave him a 3-year, $40 million deal. Bears have been hit with a ton of injuries all over the place in their secondary already this offseason. They did draft Dylan Thiedemann out of Oregon in round one, so he would be the other safety opposite Kobe Bryant. But this throws into question, I think, you know, what we thought might be improved personnel for a Bears defense, which ranked very high in a lot of luck metrics last year, forced the most turnovers in the NFL, which we know tends to be very, very difficult to replicate season over season. I did think, Jeff, in conjunction with this injury, and it was unrelated to the quote, but Ben Johnson, there was a big story on him this week. He said he wants to have, quote, the highest scoring offense ever this season. The NFL record, if you're curious, the 2013 Broncos, Peyton Manning's second year in Denver, 37.8 points per game. There's a lot of weapons in Chicago. I will tell you, I think there are Packers fans who probably fear Ben Johnson, liked it a lot more when Matt Nagy was at the helm of the Chicago Bears. Is this realistic? Could we see Chicago even average 30 points per game? I don't think they're getting to 38.
They might need it. This defense is going to be a ticket to the carnival, I think. They lost Kevin Byard, too. So, I think that's what makes the Kobe Bryant injury that much more impactful, too. Is he was supposed to step right in and be that main ball hawk guy in the secondary there that could step right in. Thiedemann is really obviously going to have to get, you know, a quick baptism by fire. I think that's a big aspect of this Bears defense. Luther Burden's banged up. Another one of those wide receiver injuries that we're wondering about. We addressed that a little bit yesterday. They're hopeful that he's ready for week one. Hope is, you know, injury hope is not a good plan. It's not usually something we want to rely on too much there. Well, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, maybe I'll get, I'm hopeful I get Burden in the fifth round now, or maybe later. We'll see. But at the same time, you know, that's another risk factor there as well. I think the Bears have the tools, the play caller that could have just a very prolific offense. DeAndre Swift looks great. He seems healthy right now. Manungai is another guy that's a good change of pace running back there. People are expecting a little bit more out of him. A full season of healthy Coast and Loveland should be great. And man, they need this to be a 30-point offense because they're going to give up just that much as well. That whole division, there's going to be some fireworks in this division.
I did some digging on that 2013 Broncos team, by the way. They were averaging over 40 points per game at the halfway mark. They had 6 games of at least 40 points, 3 games of 50-plus. And the Bears, by the way, projected to be the 10th highest scoring team in the NFL if you're going by those team totals. To wrap up the first segment, Jeff, like I mentioned, we have 6 preseason games starting up tomorrow. We'll give you a deeper dive on those on the Thursday show. But it includes your Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Detroit Lions. Now, you know, most preseason games, if you're looking at the lines, you'll see 1.5, maybe 2.5. Bengals are 6.5 point favorites tomorrow night. And that is on the back of the Lions not being expected to play any starters. And the expectation that we see at least a series or two from Joe Burrow and most of the regulars for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't see anything that could possibly go wrong here for the Bengals. I'm sure everything's going to be fine. There's going to be no injuries. It's going to be smooth sailing. They're going to look great. No, they are trying to, you know, here's the thing. The Bengals do want to get off to a flying start. They want to, they're trying out some new wrinkles on offense, a lot more under center stuff. As some initial struggles, but it sounds like it's starting to work a little bit better. But they don't want to see it in the line of fire. They want to see it, you know, not against their own teammates in shorts. They want to see it, you know, in practice. And so that's going to be something that's going to be very interesting to see. And for that matter, they want to roll out their newfound defense as well. Dexter Lawrence, Boy Mafe, Cassius Howell, their second round pick out of A&M, has had a lot of raves in training camp so far. So they're going to play a lot of these guys. So we'll see what happens. You're right. It is kind of a noteworthy line to see that early in the preseason, but here we are.
Expect to see Dexter Lawrence make his Bengals debut as well. So starters on both sides should be out there for Cincinnati. We also expect to see some Packers starters tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. We immediately get a Mike McCarthy revenge game. Should see one or two series from the Packers. Ones on the offensive side of the ball. Should see plenty of Marshawn Lloyd as well. Josh Jacobs not expected to play. Lloyd, I believe, has only appeared in two games so far, has basically been injured the first 2 years of his career. And the other highlight tomorrow night, all eyes on Raiders Cardinals, where we'll see Jeremiah Love, we'll see Fernando Mendoza make their respective NFL debuts. Clint Kubiak said earlier today, hoping to get Mendoza some snaps with the Raiders starting offensive line. We got PGA Tour playoffs to preview. Len Hochberg from RotoWire.com is going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. Full preview of the FedEx St. Jude on the other side. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whelan. We are with RotoWire.com. Also with RotoWire.com is our good friend Len Hochberg, our senior golf writer and DFS betting expert. Three-time winner of the FSWA DFS Writer of the Year. He joins us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Len Hochberg. And, of course, read him on RotoWire, where he has his weekly recap. He has his weekly DraftKings article. And during the major season, he always does power rankings for us as well. He participates in group projects for us there. All sorts of good stuff. Len, thank you so much for joining us. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, it is time for the playoffs. Playoffs. I'm just happy I won a game. I had Michael Brennan last week in our league. First win of the year, but you need winners in fantasy golf. And if that's your first one in August, then you're probably in trouble. But let's talk about this tournament. We're down to 70 players. Some drama there and who would make the final cut, make the tournament at TPC Southwind. And it's now the FedEx St. Jude Championship is a regular stop in our playoffs.
Yeah. And there's a lot, of course, there's a lot on the line this week, but it's a really interesting season. We've had a season really unlike any other in recent years. No one has dominated. Scottie Scheffler was the player of the year 4 years in a row. I mean, we can go back years and they've been giving out this award, the Jack Nicklaus Award, since 1990. I don't think we've ever had this many guys in the running for this award. And so if one of them steps up in the playoffs here, he could move to the front. Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, and Scottie Scheffler. And I just forgot one other guy in there, but it's just been a very, very interesting season.
First of all, congrats to those who cashed the Jeff Erickson to drop the Jim Mora playoffs reference. I believe that was minus 500, minus 700. Some books just took it off the board prior to the show. But those who got that in under the gun, congratulations. Len, you write great previews for us each and every week over at RotoWire. Doesn't matter the tournament, you're still digging in deep. And you always do a good job of profiling, you know, not only which golfers you like, which golfers you're betting, but which type of golfers, which archetype succeed at each event. So tell us why this week it is all about ball striking.
Yeah, it really is. We talked ball striking last week at the Wyndham, but even more so this week. And just to explain what ball striking is, it's a combination of total driving and greens in regulation. And total driving is driving distance and driving accuracy. So those three things, distance off the tee, accuracy off the tee, greens in regulation. And here's why. The fairways are very narrow at TPC Southwind, maybe around 25 yards at the 300-yard mark. Rough lining the fairways on both sides, water on 11 holes. You really need to keep the ball in the fairway. And once you're in the fairway, or if you're not in the fairway, either way, you are heading toward very small greens. Last week, the greens at Sedfield, over 6,000 square feet on average. Here, 4,300 square feet, significantly smaller, some of the smallest greens we've seen on the PGA Tour all year. The greens in regulation numbers are way down here from the tour average. So that is why ball striking, ball striking, ball striking. We've seen a lot of bad putters win this tournament. Not so much Cam Young last year, sort of in between putter, but the 3 years before that, Hideki Matsuyama, Lucas Glover, Will Zalatoris, terrible putters, pretty much all three of them.
Justin Rose is our winner from last year. And, you know, it was all about the ball striking there. What sort of chances does he have coming into this tournament here? You know, recent form hasn't been wonderful. He won early in the season, won big at Torrey Pines. He ran away from the field. And we haven't heard a whole lot from him recently.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's been his MO. He's just never goes away. I mean, he sort of has peaks and valleys. He's not there every week like Scottie Scheffler. But, you know, he's not on my radar this week, and that might be, a mistake, because he just, even though he's in his mid-40s, he just knows how to play golf, obviously, duh. He knows how to play each golf course, what he needs to do there. He's not the longest hitter. He's not short. He's not the best putter. He's not the worst. He's pretty good at everything. It's just been a remarkable career. And, yeah, do I expect him to win this week? No, I haven't really seen anyone predict him to win this week. But certainly, I certainly think he will have a good week, and a top 25 could be in order.
Have you ever thought you'd do a better job managing an NFL franchise than the actual GMs? If the idea of making real football decisions, player contracts, salary cap, injury replacements, if that appeals to you, you have to try Franchise League Football. It's the first real innovation in the fantasy space since DFS and best ball, and recently won the Best Product Experience Award for startups from the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association. In Franchise League Football, you're the GM from day one. You're in full control to build your winning franchise. Compete head-to-head, just like traditional fantasy football. We're talking tons of features that keep it fresh and realistic while ensuring that the best GMs raise the trophy year after year. You can check it out at franchiseleaguefootball.com and be sure to use our code ROTOWIRE50, ROTOWIRE50. Save 50% right off the top over at franchiseleaguefootball.com. Talking with Len Hochberg from rotowire.com, helping us preview the FedEx St. Jude. So Len, Scotty Scheffler is in the field. We, of course, have to make the decision. Are we getting him into our lineups? I know you're still holding him in one of your one and done pools. Is this the week to unleash Scotty Scheffler in the playoffs?
I don't know if I'm going to unleash him in the one and done, but I think this is certainly a week to play Scotty Scheffler. He comes in with a very manageable price of 13.5, and that price used to be, a few years ago, used to be exorbitant. But we've seen Scotty Scheffler at 14.7. We've seen him at 14.9. 13.5, that is a huge savings. You have the other end of the spectrum in the 6,000s. We have a lot of good golfers. So many weeks I talk to you guys, it's painful trying to find guys in the 6,000s. who I think can play. It's really just a complete dart throw. But these are good players. They're the top 70. And there are a bunch of good golfers in the 6,000s. There is no cut, so we don't have to worry about that. So, yeah, this is certainly a week to play Scottie Scheffler. He's finished in the top five here the past 2 years. He finishes top five almost every week anyway. So, yeah, full go on Scottie Scheffler this week.
When we're looking at the golfers that you list in your article, sometimes you have golfers listed for, you know, for that you like for DraftKings purposes, not, and we'll list like their betting price. You're not necessarily betting all these guys to win. So, you know, sometimes when we point these guys out, just let's just clarify that for everybody that's in the listening audience. Let's talk a little Matt Fitzpatrick, though. 9,900 on DraftKings, plus 2,250 to win the tournament. He's been great all season long. Hasn't come up big in the biggest tournaments, however, ever since, like, especially in the majors. How do you think he shapes up here?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people were on Matt Fitzpatrick at the Open Championship, and he burned a lot of people at the Open Championship. He missed the cut. It was just horrible. And that's the last thing we've seen of Matt Fitzpatrick. He's been off since the Open Championship and just left a really bad taste in people's mouths. And we have to get past that because in the four tournaments before that, he had a second, he had a third, he had a fourth. He's finished a lot of weeks in this tournament, had great results. He's finished fourth, he's finished fifth, he's finished sixth. So I know how hard it is to get back on a guy after he burned you, but there is a lot to like about Matt Fitzpatrick. First on tour in strokes gained approach, second in strokes gained around the green. Around the green, very important because with those small greens that I talked about, greens will be missed, and that will bring chipping into play. He's just, you know, and a very good price, too. There are four guys ahead of him, and I don't understand quite why.
Len, you mentioned with this being a condensed field event, you have some more value down at the bottom of the board. I know Bud Cauley is somebody you're looking at. 6,500 is his price on DraftKings, but tell me why Jordan Smith made your list this week.
Yeah, I was as surprised as writing this, and maybe a lot of people were reading my article, but Jordan Smith, and I keep wanting to say Jordan Spieth, but it is Jordan Smith who leads the PGA Tour in ball striking, driving, distance driving, accuracy, greens, and regulation. That was a big surprise, but when you look a little closer, he has eight top 25s on the season. He has only one top 10. That tells me that he has a lot of trouble once he gets on the green, and he does. He's not a very good putter, but as I mentioned also earlier, that there's been some pretty bad putters who've done that well this week. He's 64th in points. He needs a top 10 at least to advance to next week, so the chances of that happening are slim, but at $6,600, he could fit into any lineup, and I suspect that he will do a lot better than his price.
Great stuff, as always, from our guy, Len Hochberg, our senior golf writer, DFS and betting expert over at rotowire.com. Give him a follow at Len Hochberg. Make sure you check out his full preview for the FedEx St. Jude up right now over at rotowire.com. We're heading right back out to the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. Our lead NFL fantasy analyst, Theo Greminger, stopping by with some training camp risers, some rookies we need to be keeping an eye on in fantasy. We'll hit that next when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you, doing a little double guest Wednesday on the show. Just had our friend Len Hochberg joining us, heading right back out to the Progressive Guest Line to bring on Theo Greminger, our lead fantasy football analyst over at rotowire.com. Make sure you follow him at the OG Fantasy. Theo's been putting out just a ridiculous amount of content over on the RotoWire YouTube channel, so check him out there as well. You can also hear him as the voice of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Theo, it's been tough to honestly pick through all of the videos that you've been doing, all the content you've been putting up on the YouTube channel, but we want to focus on a video you did last week focusing on some risers, some fallers in the fantasy world as we piece through NFL training camps. And I want to go and start out with the Cleveland Browns, who have been kind of a black box team for me. We like some of the skill position talents. We maybe don't love the quarterback situation in Cleveland, but how do you reckon with that? Whether you're looking at Denzel Boston, KC Concepcion, both of them have turned heads so far in camp. I know you like Quinshon Judkins as well, but how do you weigh that against what could be the most disastrous quarterback situation in the NFL?
I think that the discounts are sort of baked in for players that we would view as like upper level NFL skill position talents, but sort of weighed down by very, very questionable quarterback play. The bar is sort of low for these guys to produce, though. Quinshon Judkins in a lot of formats is falling to like the sixth round. KC Concepcion, we're seeing him in like round 10, round 11. Denzel Boston, round 16. If we can just get maybe the 25th best quarterback play out of these guys, and then I think we could see all these guys sort of deliver at ADP. And that's not to mention Harold Fannin Jr., who was just exceptional down the stretch. Fannin Jr. is the one we're sort of really, really would love to see Shedeur Sanders behind center, because we know the two of them had that connection over the, like the last eight games of last season. A lot of games where Fannin was very highly targeted. But I am bullish on Quinshon Judkins. I think that there's nothing but positive vibes with him. We saw this at OTAs. He sort of exceeded our injury optimism in a major way. And we're hearing the coaches just sort of praise him. We heard Todd Monken come out and call him, he's a bull, he's a downhill powerful man, he's fun to watch. And we know how effective Todd Monken has been with multiple skill position players, especially most recently in Baltimore with Derrick Henry. And then we have Deuce Staley basically saying that he is an every down back, that saying the sky is the limit for him. So Judkins, when we look at him last year, off the field stuff, missed the beginning of last season, missed all of training camp, just basically got dropped onto the team and then had a high volume week against Baltimore, his first week in the NFL. I have optimism for him. I think he's a very, very strong talent. KC Concepcion, first round pick this year, very similar to Zay Flowers, who we saw thrive under Todd Monken in Baltimore. And then Denzel Boston was another like drumbeats guy, dominant player in OTAs. In OTAs, he was sort of called the most talented Cleveland Brown skill position player by a couple of beat reporters, and he continues to sort of turn heads. He's sort of a more difficult bet for us to make in fantasy this year, especially when you bring up like the spotty quarterback play. But he's drawn comparisons to guys like Drake London, to guys like Michael Pittman Jr. from some of the beat reporters there. So I don't know. I'm sort of a sucker for these bad teams with talented players. These guys get touches too, and sometimes we get them at a major discount in fantasy drafts.
Theo, speaking of bad teams, let's talk a little New York Giants. In May, it was released that Malik Nabers had a second procedure on that knee. The fantasy community wins, predictably in a tizzy about that there, and we saw him drop quite a bit in ADP. Now he's participated in 9 out of the last 10 practices. Everything is pointing to him being completely ready by week one. How much has he changed in your rankings?
I mean, I had to move him up a ton. When it first came out and I first did my rankings, I had him buried because I had pessimism for him potentially missing like 6 games and have like a doom and gloom nightmare scenario. Now, like you said, it looks like he's trending towards possibly being there for week one, avoided the PUP list, and just looks like himself. All of the highlight films from training camp are really, really strong. He looks fast twitch. He looks explosive. He looks very, very athletic. And it's a player that we know his rookie year sort of broke fantasy analytics wise. He was at the very top of the NFL in first read rate, very top of the NFL in target share, towards the very top of the NFL in air yard share, had this mega usage season and gave us like top 6 scoring numbers at 21 years old. I'm kind of there. I mean, I understand if you're still want to have a little bit of pessimism, but in terms of pure talent, I think he's one of the maybe 3 or 4 most talented wide receivers in football. And if he's trending towards playing week one, then I think we all need to do a major readjust there. We're starting to see him in round 2, sort of living in round 2, but it could be a drumbeats guy that by the time we get to the end of the summer, he could pass by like AJ Brown, Drake London, and sort of be a little closer to that 1-2 turn area. A lot of wide receivers this year, though. So if you are pessimistic about some sort of reaggravation, and I think some injury experts have brought up, he looks great now, like in all these training camps, but can he hold up to sort of the routine beating of an NFL Sunday? I think that sort of it weighs a little heavy in some of the injury experts' minds. But just in terms of chasing upside and chasing talent, you don't usually see players like him available towards the tail end of round two. So I guess I'm slowly and surely moving him up my rankings. I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, we always love talking about the risers this time of year, but we need to hit the fallers as well. How about what's going on with Travis Etienne down in New Orleans? It certainly appears as though Alvin Kamara is going to have a say in this backfield. So how have you been treating Etienne in your rankings of late?
I moved him down a little bit. I'm still not burying him. I still think he's in a pretty good spot to return some value, but I think it's a little, for me, it's a little bit more of a structural pick than like a swing for the fences type. When we look at New Orleans, they do have what should be a fantastic offensive line. We have a lot of belief in the Kellen Moore offense and Tyler Shuck taking a step forward in year two. But Alvin Kamara's presence, what's a floor season for Kamara look like as a receiver? Probably like 35 catches if he stays healthy. And if Kamara gets injured, it sort of wheels up for Etienne. But starting out the season, I think it could be, it could sort of leave us wanting a little bit more for him in terms of the reception totals. And I think Kamara's presence just sort of really lowers the ceiling outcome for me. I'm still open-minded to drafting him if you need to like play catch up at running back, but it feels like more of a structural pick than a swing for the fences and find like a league winner in that range.
Theo, I argued on Monday that Mike McDaniel's comments about all three running backs getting playing time for the Chargers was a gift for those of us who want to be in the Omarion Hampton business. Maybe we'll get them a little bit more affordably in the second round now.
Yeah, and we've heard this before in the past where, you know, he had nice things to say about Ollie Gordon. He had nice things to say about Jalen Wright at times. And Mike McDaniel, I think, kind of likes to mess with fantasy managers a little bit. He's like a funny guy, always has some pretty good quotes. But let's take him for his word here. If all three of them are going to get touches, Hampton is still the bet to fall in the end zone the most times and have the most rushing yards. And if people are making a statement that Justin Herbert can be the MVP, that the Chargers are a contender to win the AFC, that they're going to win the AFC West and all these good things, then they're going to be leading in a lot of these games and the game flow should lean towards Omarion Hampton. I think that Keaton Mitchell is one that we want to pay attention to drumbeats wise, where Keaton Mitchell, I think, is going to be a manufactured touch guy for them. Maybe if you're in a zero RB build or maybe some sort of a hero RB build and you're looking to have a guy that you can use in the flex or maybe get by with some weeks in the RB2 spot, I think Mitchell as like a manufactured touch guy could be a really fun guy for you to have on your roster. And certainly I think he's going to be viable in best ball. I still view Kamani Vidal as more of a contingent upside handcuff to Hampton. But Hampton was really good last year. Hampton averaged over 16 points per game. We saw some very strong pass catching skills for him, and he has the highest pedigree. And it's funny because people are sort of looking at the quote that McDaniel gave about all three backs. The week before, he was praising Omarion Hampton, saying he was like the most improved guy in camp and all this sort of stuff. So I think we'll hear Mike McDaniel probably say something nice about Omarion Hampton, and it'll move up like two spots in ADP by the time we get to the end of August.
Great stuff as always from our guy, Theo Greminger, our lead NFL fantasy analyst over at rotowire.com. Again, make sure you check him out at Rotowire as well as on the Rotowire YouTube channel. Like we said, Theo, you've been putting out a ton of content. You got new videos every day. What should we keep an eye out for over these next few days?
Yeah, so just come check out the YouTube channel. We're putting out a show a day. I have some really fun guests coming on this week. Scott Barrett from Fantasy Points is joining me. Evan Silva from Establish the Run. And then we're doing a bunch of live drafts. I've got a live draft with Alan Sislowski. We're doing an NFFC 350 tomorrow. I've got Ryan Heath from Fantasy Points joining me for an FFPC 350. And then Mike Shope is joining me for an FFPC main event on Friday night. So lots of live draft fun content over on the YouTube channel. And check out the podcast again.
We got to head to break. Jeff Erickson's baseball betting card when we return. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
talking prop points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale, Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, bringing you up to the top of the hour. We'll finish things out, getting some Major League Baseball plays from Jeff Erickson. We do have our first game of the day just started up out in Minneapolis, and the Orioles already threatening. We're in the top of the first, no outs, runners on first and third. So we'll let you know if anything develops there for Baltimore. Those two teams have split the first two games of that series. Jeff, we got some afternoon games today, including the Phillies and the Cardinals out in St. Louis. That's Zach Wheeler taking on Kyle Leahy. Cardinals won in shutout fashion last night. Seeing the Phillies as favorites on the money line, total coming in at 8. How are you breaking this one down?
So a couple of things here. We saw the Cardinals shut out the Phillies last night. It's been, first game, you and I both kind of like the Cardinals. Phillies pulled that one out, but Phillies offense is kind of struggling right now. Luis Arias is joining the Phillies, is 7-36, good for a 194 batting average, only one walk, so not much else added on top of that there. Bryce Harper is banged up. He's playing through knee soreness. He is playing the outfield today. He has played some DH, though. You remember, they moved him to the outfield to accommodate Arias, so everything's kind of, there's a lot of moving pieces for this Phillies lineup. Brandon Marsh was such a great story in the first half. He's got a 474 OPS in his last 21 days. And sneakily, Kyle Leahy's been very good, especially lately. He hasn't allowed more than two runs in any start, not just earned runs, but in two runs period, and any start since June 17th. So he's been rolling pretty well there. And, you know, that the earned run bets out there kind of reflect that there. You can get under 2.5 earned runs, but you're going to have to pay a pretty heavy minus price, usually somewhere in the range of minus 160 to get that price. Instead, I'm going to just go with the under on the game here. I think between Wheeler and Leahy, I think we're going to keep it a pretty low-scoring game. I've got the under 8 at minus 112 over at FanDuel for this game.
We got the Rays in the A's out in Sacramento. This is a 3 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Tampa Bay heavily favored on the money line, Jeff, to win what would be their 9th in a row. They're just a half game back in Milwaukee for the best record in baseball entering today. Total's up at 9.5 for Drew Rasmussen taking on Jack Perkins.
Yeah, and they're trying to go for the perfect road trip there. They swept the Rockies. They swept the Mariners. They're 2-0 against the A's. They've been rolling there. Smoked them yesterday. Nick Martinez with a complete game. Gave up a couple runs in the ninth to make it look even cosmetically a little closer. It was like 12-4, so still not close at all. Jack Perkins is pitching for the A's today, and it hasn't gone well for Jack Perkins as a starter. 7.95 ERA since the move to the rotation. 14 homers allowed in that stretch. However, there is a little silver lining to this. He's always had good strikeout stuff, and he still does have still good strikeout stuff. And in those starts, he's had 48.2 innings so far, 48 and two-thirds innings, 59 strikeouts in that stretch. So, and the Rays haven't faced him this year. I think that kind of bodes a little bit well in his favor. I like the over on the Perkins strikeouts, and you can get it either at 3.5 at a minus price, or you can get some pretty good payouts at over 4.5. I'm going to go the latter, and a little riskier there. You know, I like to live dangerously too, Mr. Powers. But plus 146 over 4.5 strikeouts over at DraftKings.
We'll get you some more baseball plays in just a moment. But folks, football is back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both the NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from the sharpest minds at VSiN to help you bet football smarter all season long. You'll also get daily best bets. You get real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks. Plus, you get 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year. Save 50% off the top with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Get in with VSiN Pro before the NFL season begins. Picking through the Wednesday baseball card with Jeff Erickson here on Prop Points. Jeff, Brewers Padres this afternoon. Brewers looking to avoid the sweep. This is not how we wanted this series to go, with a 4-game set against the Dodgers in LA looming the rest of the week. Milwaukee now throwing Dustin May out there, Robbie Ray on the other side of this one. Is this a bounce back spot for the Brewers, who are basically out of that game in the second inning last night with Kyle Harrison getting blown up?
Yeah, you and I were talking off air, and you were talking about how Pat Murphy sometimes lets his starters just wear it. And that's what happened yesterday with Harrison. Really rough outing there. Compounding the problem is Bryce Durant sprained his thumb towards the end of that game. Really frustrating to see that because, you know, their middle infield's really banged up right now. And to wit, Terang is back in the lineup, at least for this game here, left-on-left matchup. So that's good news, at least, that it's not that serious of an injury. But I'm focusing on the Padres here and what they were doing right. It's not just yesterday. They have the hottest offense in baseball over the last 30 days. 355 WOBA, 128 WRC+. I know there's no Fernando Tatis Jr. in the lineup here, but I still like the team total. One of the guys that we should highlight is Jackson Merrill. Over his last 21 games, 1,078 OPS with six homers. You know, earlier in the season, Merrill was really slumping. We're kind of like, well, what's wrong with Jackson Merrill? At least he was running at the time. Now he's hitting for power. He's really kind of putting things together. And there's a number of Padres that are hitting a lot better right now. I'm going to go with the alt team total on this one here at over 4.5 runs. You get it plus money, plus 130 over at DraftKings. You can find some 3.5s out there, but you're going to pay the price on that one there, to pay a little bit more of the juice. So I figure let's get a better payout there and go for the higher, go for a real payout with the higher number.
Jackson Merrill responsible for two of the 17 hits on the board last night for the Padres. So never a great sign when Gary Sanchez is in there closing it out for Milwaukee.
No.
Let's head over to the American League Central, Jeff. We got Guardians Tigers in Detroit, Foster Griffin, Framber Valdez on the hill. You got a money line play.
Yeah, I do. And it's the Tigers who have played better since trading away Tarek Skubal. It's because of mostly who they've been playing. You know, they had a series against the Mariners, a series against the Giants, a series against the A's. They've won three in a row. They're 59-60. They're 2.5 games out in the division. And, you know, they're right in the thick of the wild card hunt. It just makes you shake your head. Like, you know, just think what happened if they didn't sell at the deadline there. They're only a half game out in the wild card right now, facing a Guardians team that really struggles against left-handers, of which Framber Valdez, who's pitching tonight, is a left-hander. They're 27th in WOBA against lefties at 294. Joe Adell was brought on to help address that a little bit. I don't think it's enough of a change. Framber, he's a tough guy to pin down, but four of his last five starts have been pretty good. The one bad one was a disaster start against the Cubs. Still, I think I like the Tigers today. Minus 120 at FanDuel. And I'm going to go Framber Valdez over 4.5 Ks. Plus 105 over at MGM. Nick, before we get in any more picks, real quick, I wanted to mention Paul Skeens last night. We're not going to be picking on this game here today with the Pirates and the Marlins, but Skeens, 65 pitches, diminished velocity, was topped out at 96.5 miles an hour. In previous years, he was over 100 miles an hour. He doesn't have a single pitch over 100 miles an hour this year, only three pitches at 99 miles an hour. Little concerned about Skeens, little concerned about that. The earned runs won't show it in that line, but he gave, you know, there was Brian Reynolds saved him, a two-run homer. There was another rocket that was, you know, hit the center field that was 400 feet that was caught. So could have been a lot worse from Skeens. I'm definitely worried about him.
Are you buying what the Pirates are telling us, which is that this is not injury related? They're basically trying to ignore it. They're trying to brush it aside. I mean, his average fastball velo is down 2 full miles per hour from 2024, right, closer to 1.5 miles per hour from last year. Did not have a single pitch faster than 97 last night.
No, I'm not buying it. I'm very skeptical. I think there might be something slightly off with him. I think that's why he got yanked after 65 pitches. If everything was fine, they would have let him go on deeper into this game. He was fortunate to give up just that one run. Yuri Perez was awesome in that game, by the way. His seventh inning, he was throwing over 100 miles an hour. It was an interesting contrast in the status of both of those two pitchers.
Before we give you our best bets of the night, Jeff, I know you have a quick total play in Mariners Yankees tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to go back to the well in the under here. 8.5 is the total. You get plus 105 for the under at Hard Rock. It's 4-1 last night. We had a Cal Rally mea culpa afterwards at his press conference. You know, I'm so terrible. He struck out to end the game. I know Bryce Miller has a pretty bad home road split, two runs worse, but so did Brian Wu, and he still was fine. It was the bullpen that blew it yesterday. Going under 8.5.
Time for those best bets of the night before we send you off to Money Moves coming up next here on VSiN. Jeff, what do you got for us in baseball?
It's always uncomfortable betting unders, but I'm going with the under in that Phillies Cardinals this afternoon, under 8, minus 112 over at FanDuel.
So I'm going to add to my NFL futures portfolio. I was on with Gil and Kelly this morning. We were talking offensive rookie of the year, and I'm going to take a shot on DeShon Stribling from the 49ers, 33-1 at FanDuel. He's 20-1 at DraftKings. And I think this is just a wide open race. You have a lot of elite talents, a lot of players who are in bad situations from this rookie class. We got reports out of Niners camp that Stribling has been the best wide receiver on the field. He outplayed Carnell Tate in joint practices with the Tennessee Titans. You know, I'm not a believer in Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, Debo Samuel. They might be cooked. John Stribling, 33-1 offensive rookie of the year. Money Moves is coming your way next. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, Matt Brown stopping by the show. Keep it locked. You're watching the Sports Betting Network.